From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message called The Faith That Stands Secure in the Judgment, The Account of the Faith of Noah. This is the fifth in a series of studies in Chapter 11 of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, We May Speak for God. The text is Jeremiah 15 and verse 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, If thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Poor Jeremiah. Yet why do we say so? The weeping prophet was one of the choicest servants of God, and honored by him above many. He was hated for speaking the truth. The word which was so sweet to him was bitter to his hearers, yet he was accepted of his Lord. He was commanded to abide in his faithfulness, and then the Lord would continue to speak through him. He was to deal boldly and truthfully with men and perform the Lord's winnowing work upon the professors of his day. And then the Lord gave him this word, Thou shalt be as my mouth. What an honor! Should not every preacher, yea, every believer, covet it? For God to speak by us, what a marvel! We shall speak sure, pure truth, and we shall speak it with power. Our word shall not return void. It shall be a blessing to those who receive it, and those who refuse it shall do so at their peril. Our lips shall feed many. We shall arouse the sleeping and call the dead to life. O dear Christian, pray that it may be so with all the sent servants of our Lord.
Glorify the heavens, ring.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. The third of the characters listed in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, known as Faith's Hall of Fame, is Noah, the Ark Builder. As we've seen, the human race of Noah's day had corrupted itself so completely that God decided to destroy all flesh. Yet the Bible testifies that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God commanded him to build an ark to save his family and representative animals from the approaching flood, and Noah obeyed, never having seen a drop of rain. Noah's faith was characterized by belief in the gospel, by obedience to the gospel, and by allegiance to it. By faith, Noah perceived the glory of God. He had an insight into the true nature of God. Noah's faith received God's graces. In addition to obtaining the righteousness which is by faith, Noah received a promise of a great future, and he saw his whole family saved. Now, here is Dr. Cairns to bring the conclusion of this message called The Faith That Stands Secure in the Judgment.
Noah didn't see the millions, but as a father, he was perfectly successful, for every one of his children got into the ark. That was his purpose. But I think the words mean simply that he built an ark with the result that his house was saved, and he became the heir of the righteousness of faith. Very simply, sum it up, Noah's faith was the means of his own justification. That's the meaning of the heir of the righteousness of faith. What it means is righteousness is by faith. Noah had faith, and Noah was accounted righteous. Noah, by faith, entered in to acceptance with God. Secondly, it's saying, Noah's faith obtained a promise of great future benefits that would flow from his acceptance with God, because he became the heir of the righteousness. The idea of being an heir is not only of now that you enter into a certain relationship, but that there are future benefits that flow from that relationship. Noah, by faith, entered into all the future fullness of redemption. That's what faith does. When it receives the grace of God, it receives acceptance with God. You're not going to be accepted by God by what you do. You say, well, I know that. I'm not such a fool you need to tell me that. But do you know it? The devil comes along to you. Your own flesh comes along to you. Well, if I could only do better, God would love me more. God would accept me more. And the more you believe that sort of nonsense, the more you get into the awful rigmarole of working to make God accept you, instead of working because he has accepted you. So what is the difference? The difference between light and darkness. There's the difference between liberty and slavery. So many Christians who ought to be living as God's free men have actually bound themselves about with such slavery that they've lost the joy of the Lord. Listen, faith in Jesus Christ receives acceptance with God and the merits of Christ, and you don't need anything else. Faith in Jesus Christ will give you God's assurance of every future benefit and blessing that Christ purchased at Calvary with the shedding of his blood. Acceptance with God means that you receive everything. Everything that Christ purchased. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If you've got Christ, you'll not lack anything else. Then, as I've noted, Noah's faith obtained household salvation. I don't want to be unduly controversial, but I do believe that the Bible's theology is based around two great covenant relationships. In Adam, death; in Christ, life. I believe also that God has specifically told his people that his blood-bought people have a promise for their family. That there is a covenant of God's grace for the families of his people. In fact, Paul puts it so strongly that he says that even where you've got the case of one believer whose partner in life does not come to Christ, and you've got, therefore, the divided home. He says, if that Christian will live for God, they themselves are justified and sanctified, but there is a sense in which they will sanctify even the unbelieving partner, and they will sanctify their children. Their children are not unclean. Now, he's not saying they're not sinners, but he is saying that they are brought into a very particular and peculiar bond of the covenant, as the Old Testament calls it. There is a promise that they ought to lay hold of. There is a promise that their faith can get a grip of. Noah's faith took a grip of that promise. And by faith he saw his household saved. By faith he condemned the world, mind you. By faith, standing for God, he could pronounce judgment on the world. But that same faith claimed the promise of God to deliver his children from the judgment. And he did see them delivered. Presbyterians historically, of course, have gone a lot further with that. And I'm not wanting to do a study of historical and controversial theology this morning. But I will say this, that I think that parents have too often fallen for the notions that have come from various quarters. I think the opposite swing of the pendulum from popery has just led to the opposite extreme of believing really that whether kids get saved or not is really a matter of the dice and the chance. The best you can do is just get them into, quotes, a good church and hope for the best. Well, it's good to get them into a good church. But I think you would do well as parents to recover the old Reformation idea of what it is to be saved. When you are saved, the old Protestants used to talk about you being in covenant with God. You've entered into the covenant of grace through Christ. And if you're in covenant with God, then they would tell you, lay hold of God by prayer, by holy living, by exhortation, by example. Lay hold of the promise of God that he will save you and your house. And don't sit back passively to let the devil lay hold of your children and take them to hell. No man who has faith can be at peace in his heart to see his children go to hell. If he has faith in Christ, there is that within him that is going to well up to lay hold of God for those children. It's very interesting, as Mr. Spurgeon once told an old Methodist of his acquaintance, that you become a Calvinist when you get on your knees. The old man said, no, I don't. I don't believe in election and all that. He says, you certainly become a Calvinist when you get on your knees. When you get down on your knees, you don't say, oh Lord, save every man, woman, and child in the world. Amen. No, you come to God and you start saying, Lord, there are millions in the world, but I want you to make a difference. I have children and they're going to hell and I want you to save them. Lay hold of them. Plead for them. There's a covenant promise which is to you and to your children. That was not just for the Jews, but it's to them that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. There's a promise to your children. And though this may sound strange in the ears of many of you, tell it not in Gath, you would say. Again, it has been taken in wrong directions. But still, don't miss the basic truth. The first faith that will affect your children and their eternal destiny is not their faith, but yours. You ever think of that? We have come to the place where there's been such an emphasis on the believer entering into salvation. That is true. That Christian parents have lost sight of the fact that the first faith that affects the life and the soul of the child is the parents' faith. He'll not be saved simply because they believe. No, no. But because they believe, God will move him to believe. That's the truth. Faith perceives the glory of God, and then it receives the grace of God, even obtaining household salvation. And of course, we have to come full circle. This faith that receives the grace of God stands the test of the judgment, ultimately will be fully vindicated. Noah preached about a coming flood. Madman. Lock him up. But there was a flood. Noah preached the end of all flesh. Idiot! Who could believe it? It's not a theologian in the world who's ever dreamed of that. But all flesh did come to judgment. Noah preached salvation by God's grace in the ark. Not one person in all that vast crowd would enter in. But only in the ark was there salvation. Noah's faith was fully vindicated. And I want to tell you, my friend, the faith that believes the gospel of God, the faith that perceives the glory of God, the faith that reaches out the hand and receives the grace of God, will always be vindicated. There's no chance of failure. The psalmist, in a different connection, somewhat, could say, I will lay me down and sleep. There's a sense in which you don't want Christians to go to sleep. But in the natural sense, yes, it's a good thing when Christians can lie down and sleep. Rest. The turmoil gone. The upheaval gone. The despair gone. Eternity no longer with a question mark over it. Because their faith is in the Christ who cannot fail. And that faith that believes the gospel, perceives the glory, and receives the grace of our God will be vindicated and will stand secure even in the day of judgment. I trust today that you will not be among those who have no saving faith in Christ and yet who simply shrug off eternity and glibly tell yourself it'll be all right. I trust equally that you'll not be among those who have truly come to Christ and yet who live their lives under the awful darkness of the devil's attack. Rather that all, of whichever sort, will get to the place of belief in the gospel, trust in Christ, and an honest, simple reception of God's grace.
in him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.